and welcome to another episode of 72 Pin Connector. With me this week, we have Tom.
And our special guest, Tom.
Also with Tom.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing?
Yes. So, pretty much short cast this week, or short on cast members this week. Adam and Josh both had some stuff going on. Adam just getting back to Ohio, had some fun shit, I think. And then Josh had some prior arrangements. So we have Tom and I. So hi, everyone.
This is going to be the best cast ever.
Ever. So, Tom, what you been up to this week?
Really not a whole lot. The in-laws were in town, did some cool stuff around Seattle, got some really good tea. I signed up for this tea service that's, I don't want to call it like the Netflix of tea because it's not really the Netflix of tea, but I pay a fee every month and I get to go there every day and pick like from 200 different teas. I get to pick one and have them like totally brew it for me and give it to me for free. And it's awesome. I got this Hawaiian blend, added a bunch of fruit and shit in it. It was delicious. Some of the best tea I've had.
Yeah, I like tea. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not going to travel into downtown Seattle just to get tea.
Oh, it's great, though, because you get to walk and you get to see weird people, and it's a tea shop, so you get to go and, like, smell a bunch of teas and then pick Earl Grey every single time.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I like tea, and, like, actually some decent tea. Like, I like Earl Grey. There's, like, some mint licorice mixtures we have at work that I really like. But
no.
I love that. I hate licorice. But the mint licorice flavor doesn't taste a lot like licorice. It just gives it a really full flavor with the mint, which is really nice. Because all it right. really makes that mint come out more.
I might have to try that then, because I am anti-licorice. Totally anti-licorice.
I hate licorice.
But if it's okay in tea, and you hate it as much as I do, I'll have to give it a shot.
Like, Jaeger is the only thing licorice flavor that I can tolerate. Like, if there's black jelly beans, fuck no. Like, if I think I'm eating a grape jelly bean and it turns out to be a licorice jelly bean.
Oh, that's
like,
the worst.
It's terrible.
Because it's you're so expecting bad. Like the most delicious style of jelly bean. Like, you're ready for that like punch in the mouth of sweetness and grape flavor. And then you get licorice.
Oh. I know. Fucking straight out of the Satan's ass. It's like, here's some jelly beans, kids.
Yeah. Yeah. No, fuck that. Fuck all of that.
Jelly Belly also has another flavor. It's one of their white flavors that's really bad, but it looks a lot like one of their flavors that are really good. And hold I swear on, companies do that just to be mean.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they do. I'm sure some guy in the back is just like, oh, we're going to fuck them up now. Look at this. Grape is almost indistinguishable from licorice. Look at that. Look at it. It's so close. The colors are like almost identical. Oh, this will be great. Fuck those kids on Easter. But I think you might be referring to buttered popcorn of the Jelly Belly flavors.
Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah.
I actually like that one. I do. It doesn't work at all as a jelly bean, but I do like it.
It is a okay thing by itself, but you don't eat Jelly Bellies by themselves. You reach your hand into the 10-pound bag of diabetes you just bought and stick it straight into your mouth.
Hold on, you mix the flavors? Nah. You see, you gotta take like your handful and then segment them out, right? So you get like a handful of watermelon, a handful of the cherry bomb one, a handful of grape. You take your handful of licorice ones, you throw them in the trash. Like, that's how you're supposed to eat Jelly Bellies.
No. You understand Jelly Bellies actually have recipes on what mixtures to put into a bag so you eat them together so they taste like stuff.
Yeah.
They themselves tell you to do that.
Yeah, but you don't just, like, reach into your pantry and, like, grab a bunch of shit off your shelves and just throw it in a bowl, right? You have to carefully pick those out. You can't just, like, just reach your hand into the grab bag of kitchen stuff and end up with a cake. You're gonna end up with a monstrosity. Like, I've cooked food in real life that looks like the food in Breath of the Wild.
That sounds bad.
It was really bad.
The most I've seen... Okay, I gotta divulge this story. So in college, one of my friends, a drunken night, being very, very hungry, swears to me that he has made this several times and that it's awesome. In my drunken state, I didn't know to question him. He takes a pack of ramen, starts to cook it, and then takes a can of corn and mixes the canned corn with the ramen. It was terrible. Even in drunken state, I knew that was terrible. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Awful. How did you let this happen?
Did you miss the part where I said I was drunk and hungry?
No, even drunk
and hungry, you try stuff, man. You're just want some food.
Oh man, I've eaten some nasty ass shit and then gone to some pretty shitty restaurants when I was drunk, but man, not corn ramen. God. See,
it's something where it's just like when drunk in state, I did the stupid thing of doing peanut butter and jelly and doing jelly before peanut butter. It's just when you're drunk, you do stupid things.
That's an honest mistake. I can get that.
And for those of you who don't know and do listen to Beastcast, they are wrong. It does matter which way you do it, and you have to do fucking peanut butter first. Jelly will rot in the peanut butter.
Yeah, it has to... Well, I don't even do it for that. It's just like you put the lettuce on the bottom bun of your burger. You need some kind of barrier to keep your bread from getting all soggy. Because you don't want to have the bottom part of your bread, the bottom part of your sandwich all soggy so everything falls through. It's okay if the top gets soggy, but the bottom? No, you need structural integrity.
You put lettuce on the bottom?
I do, because what it does is it acts like a grease trap for the rest of the burger. Because if you've got a soggy top bun, like, you can work around that, but a soggy bottom bun, like, you're just holding a patty at that point. You can't mess with that.
Why are you getting soggy buns?
Because I make really greasy, drippy burgers. I make burgers the way American makes.
You don't
burgers.
Like put it on a paper towel to get some of that extra grease off?
That's flavor, man. That's flavor. I even like take the grease in the pan and just like drizzle over it. Like that's how you're supposed to cook a burger.
Tom, my friend.
Yeah.
You're disgusting. Yeah.
I know. America.
Fuck yeah.
I think they call it a hot and juicy.
No, that's called a Juicy Lucy. And that's what cheese.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what you just said, I don't think we can really discuss on this cast.
No? Is that too much for 72-pin connector?
Yes, we will not go down these avenues. One bit. Not at all. Also, it was kind of a busy week for me as well with Adam in town. We went around, did some stuff downtown, went seeing Rainier, did all sorts of that fun stuff. Adam actually was the only one to be able to stream this week, so he actually streamed on the account some through the week, which is nice. Did some PUBG and such. But yeah, so with that, Tom, were you able to get any games in?
Believe it or not, I actually played a small amount of games.
A small amount?
Yeah, just a small amount. So played some more Overwatch. Loving Overwatch, still loving those little play of the game moments, and I'm realizing several moments where I'll like pop an ultimate right in the midst of battle. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be great, it's gonna be awesome, and I like throw my mech and self-destruct in the middle of everyone and it kills like one guy. I'm like, oh well, fuck, that was a waste. But I'm getting to the point in Overwatch where I understand where I suck and how to get better. And I love that part in the game because I have an active path forward. But other than that, it's a lot of fun. It still drips with that Blizzard polish that no one else can pull off. No one else can make characters the way they do. It's a good time. Other than that, Axiom Verge, getting a little bit more into that. The story is starting to open up a little bit now, which is nice. It's nice to play an old school Metroid game that's got some story. I feel like I cheesed a boss until I realized that's really the only way you can beat the boss. I was like setting up barriers in front of myself to block a giant incoming laser and just like pew-pewing from behind a barrier. It was cheap. It was cheesy, but it did end up working. So
have you looked to see if anyone else has actually done it more of a manly style, or is the cheesy the way to do it?
If you're speedrunning this game, the cheesy way is absolutely not the way to do it. It was slow, it was plotting, it was very inaccurate, but it got me through the boss, which is really all I was about. It was good. It was a good time. Other than that, The Witcher 3. Oh my God, The Witcher 3. So every time I sit down to play this game, I'm like, okay, I've got like an hour, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to play it for an hour, and I'm going to get out. I've got my phone set up. I'm looking at the clock here. I'm like, all right, I'm good. Still got like 40 minutes left. And then I look at the clock. It's been 3.5 hours. My wife comes out. Holy shit, I thought you were in bed. What are you doing? You have work tomorrow. And I said, but the Baron, I need to find his family. And yeah, holy shit. The Witcher is just good. It is just good. Even the side quests and the tiny pieces of the game are enough to get me completely sucked into that world.
See, I've been afraid to touch it because everything I've heard about that is the level of detail that you can just get absorbed just going around just looking at shit in that game. So
yeah, it is. I have not played a role-playing game so engrossing since Mass Effect. Which is really saying something, because Mass Effect really sucked me in. I mean, I was Commander Shepard for 140 hours of gameplay, because I played 1, 2, and 3, like, right in a row. The Witcher 3 has kind of got that going on, too, where if you're looking for a role-playing game, like an RPG to suck you in, tell you a story, have great world building, I can't recommend this enough. The more I play it, the more I fall in love with it.
At some point, if I get some time, I might give it a shot. Because everyone knows it's a great game.
It's on sale right now. We should probably mention that the Steam Halloween sale is going on and it is in full force right now. So if there's something on your Steam wish list, if you want to buy some early, you know, Christmas presents for someone, I'm sure the Black Friday sale will still be a thing. But, you know, take a look now, see what you can get.
If you didn't notice from the email saying that some of the games on your list are on sale, you open up the email and it scrolls for like a mile because every fucking item on your wish list is on sale. Yeah, they got.
I know. I thought the original. Okay, not the original Wolfenstein. God, these remakes have got to find better names. But the first of the new Wolfenstein games
from like 09?
I know it was on sale. Yeah, that was no, it was more recent than 09. I'll have to look it up, but that's on sale right now. And if you're looking at getting the second one, but you don't know if you want to make a $60 commitment, totally worth the cash. I love it. Don't go in expecting any multiplayer. Doesn't have one. It is a really well done, totally polished up, well worth the money single player shooter. Definitely one of my favorite games in recent years.
And in the case that you are sensitive to killing Nazis, this game is not for you. But if you are 99.9% of everyone else out there, be ready to kill some Nazis.
I would like to make a statement on behalf of 72 Pin Connector as a collective. If you are sensitive to killing Nazis, you can go fuck right the hell off. Thank you.
Yes. Well, though, yeah. Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
So have you actually made any purchases on the Steam sale yet?
No, not yet. I was looking, but honestly, there are two games on my list to buy. The new Wolfenstein, which, frankly, I'll probably do tomorrow. And Mario Odyssey, which I know you got. You've been playing it a little bit today, so you're streaming it. And I'm going to kick it over to you. I need to know all about Mario Odyssey. How is it? Is it worth $60? Is it the best game you've ever played? Is this going to compete with Breath of the Wild for Game of the Year this year?
Well, first off, I don't think Breath of the Wild is Game of the Year this year before Odyssey came out. But that's a tale for later in the next 2 months. But so there's this Italian guy. He used to be a plumber. He since has changed jobs to an undisclosed job. He likes to wear these blue overalls with this red shirt. His name's Mario. He's a pretty rad dude, and this game's pretty fucking awesome. Okay, so Odyssey is really cool so far. When I first started playing it, I'm running around. I'm like, okay, finally open world area. Let's try some shit. And jump, jump, jump is jump, higher jump, triple jump. And instantly I'm smiling. I'm like, yes, okay, triple jump. And then I'm running full speed forward. I hit backwards and jump. And he does that twist, flip, high jump. Like, yes. It's all the moves that he needs to have.
All right.
The one thing that made me sad is jump, 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 and the triple jump, and go to dive. Can't dive. You don't have your dive attack.
Oh, no dives?
No dive. But,
That was my jam in Mario 64.
I love that dive attack. But it's gone. No big deal. There's reasons it's gone. It's pretty sweet. You meet Cappy right away. For those of you who are not sure who Cappy is, Cappy is that guy right up there at the top right of our screen. Those little big googly eyes that you see on Mario's hat all the time. That is Cappy. So this hat, you throw at an enemy, you will, well, one of two things. You'll kill the enemy or you'll possess the enemy. Because these Cappy creatures are like ghost hats. They possess things, which is really odd. So you throw the cap, you take control of them, and then you get their powers. Most of them have a jump ability and maybe an attack, maybe a stretch, something specific to them. Like there's this little seed dude that you grow his legs and you reach up high and stuff. It's pretty interesting. I like it. But the hat gives you added mobility in the sense of, they've showed it in some of the trailers. You throw the hat out there, you hold it, stays out there, you jump on it, and you get a jump off of it to get you out further. That is super difficult to do right now. When you throw this hat, yeah, when you throw the hat, you have to hold the throw button while jumping onto it. Soon as you release the throw button, the hat comes back to you. So that makes that maneuver really difficult because you have to, while holding one button, roll down to the other. It makes me feel like I'm playing some fighting games or something.
Yeah, so is this like a poor controls thing, or is this a get good thing where you just have to become one with the Mario controls?
This one is a get good. Now, there is a poor control scheme. So A and B both jump. However, A is also an action. Yes, they both buttons jump. But A is also an action button. So if you just recently jumped, it takes a second for an action to register for you to be able to do it. And if you hit A before it's ready, you jump right over your fucking spot you're trying to get the action on. Super annoying. Super, super annoying. But I will say,
that's very odd.
I think that's my only gripe so far, though. That right there. Now, to get a little more into the actual game, you're collecting moons. So in 64, it was stars. In Galaxy, if I remember right, it was stars. Here, it's moons. These things are everywhere. And I mean everywhere. One world will have fucking 12, 15 moons in it to get. And the fun thing is, except for two, there's two moons per level that'll reset you to the beginning. Other than that, you get one, keep going. You don't have to reset. Like in 64, where unless it was a coin one, one of the six stars will always take you out of the level. This won't.
Yeah, that was always one of my, I can't say gripes because I didn't know it was a gripe at first, but after I played Banjo-Kazooie, where I could get a Jiggy anywhere in the world, and I would still be playing in that level, it totally changed the way I thought about collect-a-thon platformers. Like, I wish, like, going back to playing Mario 64, I wish I could grab a star, but stay in the level. But yes. If you know how Mario 64 works, depending on which star you pick at the beginning on, like, your, I guess, star select menu, will actually determine certain features of the world, or certain enemy placement or NPC placement. So it couldn't really work like Banjo-Kazooie. Banjo-Kazooie was one place and everything fit into it without too many variables.
Mario 64 actually had some really interesting level configurations that were adjustable based on what the player did to get there, which is really cool.
Yeah, it was really nice. I still play Mario 64 to this day.
This, like I said, it plays very much like 64, very much. But yeah, those moons are everywhere. They don't take you out of the level. The characters look beautiful. The game looks great. All the worries about the hardware are still going to be there because Nintendo is amazing at making Nintendo games on Nintendo's platform. They could take a smartphone from the early 2000s and have it running fucking Mario if it was their own smartphone. I mean, they are gods at this. I don't know how they do it, but this game looks great. It runs great, sounds great, plays great. One gripe, one more. I forgot, there was one more. Motion controls. They want you to use them.
Yeah,
they want you to use them. So you can play without them. But there's a couple things that makes it faster. So if you're climbing a tree, you hit X to jump, you grab, then jump again, you grab. It's like, oh, but you shake your controller, you go faster. So I'm shaking the controller where my hands are. I realize, like, man, to someone else watching, this would look really bad. And this is really awkward. They have
you gotta get your waggle on.
Yeah, sure, we'll call it waggle. But some of these moves are like, oh, throw the hat, and now if you shake it after you're throwing it, it'll go to your nearest enemy. So it's like, it's super valuable, but that move cannot be done unless you shake the controller. Now, it's not like some crazy gesture you have to do there. There's just like a little jolt. Like if you're playing a racing game and you're like shaking because you hit the wall, that's what you have to do. And not the shaking that you hit the wall so you throw it off the floor shaking, but just like a little bam. So I don't like that. It's not terrible. It's not poorly done. I just don't like it. So for those of you who like motion controls, it's great because it's well done. It's just I don't like motion controls in my games that I feel don't need motion controls.
Yeah, it seems like Nintendo, because even Breath of the Wild had moments like this. Some things, the motion controls work great. Like the bow aiming, oh my god, I love the motion controls. Splatoon, totally a fan of the motion controls to fine-tune your aim. That was really fun in most cases. Mario, I don't see where it could really work, but because, hey, it's a feature of the Switch, it's a feature of the Joy-Cons, let's just shoehorn this in and see what happens.
I don't like when companies do that. Microsoft did that a lot early this gen, late last gen, and it just doesn't work. You can't build around a feature. You need the feature just to work into your game. And these, they don't feel natural, is my biggest issue. I guess if I was playing with the Joy-Cons, it might. But I have a Pro Controller. I want to play with that thing. It's perfect. The Pro Controller is just like a 360 Xbox One. It's a great feeling controller. When given the option, I want to use that. I didn't buy it to play with the Joy-Con still.
And yeah, everything I'm reading shows, you know, the motion controls are kind of the number one gripe for Odyssey. Now, in Splatoon and in Zelda, you can turn those off. Now, in Splatoon, you can turn them off so you won't ever see them again. In Zelda, you can turn them off, but aside from a couple puzzles, you don't have to use them, but the other puzzles absolutely require it, regardless of your settings. Now, does Mario Odyssey give you the ability to shut this off, and does it actually respect that through gameplay choices?
I'll have to check, because I will give them credit to this. You don't have to use them. So far, I haven't had to. The only thing I can't do is this lock-on feature if I don't use it. And you don't need that. So I haven't turned them off. I just haven't been using them. I'm curious to see if I turn them off, if it'll tell me like, oh, now that you've turned this off, if you actually hit this trigger button while you're doing this, it'll effectively do the same.
Yeah, that would be really nice. If Nintendo really wants to shoehorn this stuff into their games, having an option is great because, you know, let's be real. We are able-bodied gamers, right? There are some people who are playing video games where waggling a controller around just isn't a realistic option for them for whatever, you know, medical or disability reason that they might have. And that's one of the reasons that I'm against forced motion controls. The other reason is forced motion controls, in the vast majority of cases, serve no purpose to gameplay, serve no purpose to immersion, and just serve to be annoying to the player.
Yeah, motion controls should be in the VR realm, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, we saw this with the Wii, right? We saw, did you ever play the Wii port of Resident Evil 4?
There was one that was a rail shooter. That wasn't 4, was it?
No, that was okay, not 4. Okay. That was a different game.
No, I know 4 natively is not that. Like I know what 4 is. I didn't know if the Wii port, they made it a rail shooter or something.
No, but they added a bunch of waggling stuff in there. Now, in some cases, the motion controls really worked well. You could use it to aim, which was really cool, really intuitive, and really immersive, because when you're scared and something makes you jump physically in real world, it would fuck up your aim, which is great. That was awesome. But on the other hand, QuickTime events where you have to like shake the fucking Joy-Con or the Wii remote and nunchuck around like you're an idiot did nothing to increase immersion and only served to increase frustration.
Yeah, but I tend to feel that way about QuickTime events most of the time.
Now, yes, but keep in mind, when Resident Evil 4 did QuickTime events, it was new, it was novel, it was this brand new gameplay feature. Then everyone said, oh, I know how to make an amazing game, QuickTime events, and they totally mistook the feature as what it was supposed to be, which was an every once in a while, occasional thing. Now we know it just is really lazy game design.
The only game that I feel I'm okay with it on is God of War, just because I love watching the gore. And with their quick times, I can hit a button, watch the gore for 3 seconds, hit another button, watch the gore for 3 more seconds. While Kratos slaughtering a giant.
Jamming Square doesn't do anything for me, right? Since we already talked about accessibility in gaming, you know, jamming a button is also something that people don't necessarily have the ability to do. There are plenty of gamers who can push buttons, but when it comes to repetitively, rapidly pushing a single button or even a bunch of buttons, they might not have that ability. So having a QuickTime event that instantly kills you unless you jam a bunch of times does limit their enjoyment of the title. But I would love to see, like, in God of War, instead of jamming square, you know, hit square, circle, triangle, X, or do a combo of some kind. Like, that would actually put me into the immersion more, especially if the combo was consistent in your actions. Like, okay, you're going to hit square to, like, blind the enemy or stun them in a way. Then you're going to hit triangle to, like, open up their weak point, and circle will tear their throat out, or, you know, something cool like that, right?
I mean, yes, I get you. I agree with it. But I still like the God of War just because I love watching what's happening. I love the big set pieces that typically went along with them. Now, with the underlings, I agree, because those, you see it 100 times. Make it intense. Make it hard. But with the bosses, I love that because it's just this big, unique fight, and you're not seeing it a ton. So I enjoy being able to watch that. But I agree 100% on the underlings. But anyway, how the fuck did we get there?
Waggle,
wiggle, waggle, waggle. It's good. It's $60 good for sure. However, I was going to stream this game last night, you know, on release day, and let everyone see it on release day, but I got fucked by someone. Amazon pre-order.
Yeah, we should probably disclaim, even though this is really negative, we should probably disclaim that Amazon does pay our bills, right? We work for them. But that said, go ahead, Irk.
So this is the second time it's happened to me. I've done 4 or 5 games through them. 3 times it's been flawless. 2 times, not so much. I've done the pre-order. 10% off, I think, or $10 off, essentially, on the pre-order if you do physical copies. So, of course, I like money, so I'm going cheaper. I will pre-order it. Supposed to arrive. Part of my stipulation was, if it's not going to be their release day, I will pay the full 60 and get it release day. I don't care. But it told me it will be their release day. Last night, if you were watching the stream or saw any of it, I was spontaneously taking breaks through the stream to check the door to make sure it didn't arrive. Never showed up. Never got a notification saying it was going to be late either. And then this morning I got a text, oh, your package is going to arrive. The frustrating thing is the package, starting the day yesterday, was probably 15 miles away from my house. Ending the day yesterday, it was probably 12 miles away from my house. It had moved that way. That was it. It was so frustrating, but so I think it's fair to say at this point, let it be known, if it's an absolute must, you must have it the day it comes out. For the vast majority of people, it doesn't. But for some, it might. Be leery on the pre-order stuff. I will say that.
So this is actually a really, really common problem. I've seen this in Hacker News threads. I've seen this in Reddit threads. I've seen this in YouTube videos for, you know, really big YouTube personalities bitching about this. But This issue keeps happening where a package will show up a day or two, or in some cases, there is a podcast I listen to, and one of their common listeners that calls in lives in Mexico, and he pre-ordered, I think, the Super NES Classic, and it got there like 4 or 5 days after it launched. And it was a pre-order. It was supposed to show up on launch day that day, and that's a shitty experience. So yeah, there's definitely work to be done here. You know, that said, we do not speak for the company. We only speak for ourselves and our own experiences, but it is a common problem. We are not the only ones to have seen this.
Yeah, it's actually very common on all the gaming casts I listen to, from IGN to Giant Bomb to Idle Thumbs. They all have experienced this issue. So hopefully it gets better, because I would love to continue doing that. But I think we're done with games this year. I mean, I'm looking out there and I don't think we have any more big titles coming out this year. You have Call of Duty and Battlefront, I guess, still launching, but those are known quantities. We've already gotten hands on those. I don't think there's any brand spanking new sparkling things out in the horizon until next year hits.
Oh, let me see. I'm pretty sure you're wrong. I'm looking, though.
I don't think there is, man, because this week, actually, we'll go ahead and just start talking a little bit about this. This week, there were a few games to launch.
You are wrong. You are absolutely wrong.
What game am I missing?
You know what comes out in 3 days? Bubsy, The Woolly Strike Back for PlayStation 4.
Okay, once again, I stand. There is no more big releases. But this week, we had Super Mario Galaxy. And as I'm saying, it's good. A lot of the review sites are agreeing. Polygon gave it a 9.5. IGN, 10 out of 10. Metacritic, 97. Wolfenstein 2 that Tom alluded to, The New Colossus, that just launched as well, and it's got 89 on Metacritic, 9.1 on IGN, and 9 on Polygon. These are two games.
Hold on, wait. Did IGN not rate this 11 out of 10 or 10 out of 10?
They don't give a whole lot of 10 out of 10s, man. I told you about this last time.
No, IGN are Nazis. That's it. They didn't give Wolfenstein 2 a 10 out of 10. They're clearly Nazis. They're in cahoots with Hitler.
But,
you heard it here first, folks.
This is making the game of the year stuff really rough, because a lot of these games are really good this year. Really good. I mean,
this is one of the best years in gaming in a very long time.
Because, I mean, you've got big franchises coming back with Mario and Zelda. You have, or even in a way with Wolfenstein, because, I mean, it's a historical one. You have new IP such as Horizon Zero Dawn coming in here. And then you have Resident Evil doing a revamp.
And ARMS.
You have Resident Evil 7 coming back in a revamp that a lot of people are really, really liking. Sorry, Tom.
Which is on sale.
Yes. And Adam would tell you, definitely check it out. I've heard lots of good stuff about that. But there was also one other release that is actually getting surprisingly good reviews. I mean, we're not talking, oh my God, amazing, but good reviews. Assassin's Creed Origin. This is taking place in Egypt. It is the earliest in the timeline an Assassin's Creed game has been, I guess, hence Origin. But it's got a 84 on Metacritic, IGN's 9 out of 10, and Polygon's 8.5 out of 10.
So what I've been reading about this is that if you like the later open world Assassin's Creed games, this is probably one of the better ones. It's one of the best out of that style of Assassin's Creed games. It's not outstanding in any way, but it does get a lot of things right. So if you want good Assassin's Creed, but more of it, this is one to pick up.
I haven't really been in the franchise much. I loved the first one, which is weird because most people hated the first one, thinking it was really boring, because I really got brought in by that storyline.
I thought the story was intriguing, but ultimately worthless. Because it's so many carrots on sticks, right? They're like, oh, wait, but there's this other stuff you don't know about in a secret society and weird shit that you'll never figure out. And then the game ends. You're like, oh, well, maybe they'll uncover this in the next game. And then it's like, oh no, but you don't actually know the stuff that you thought you did know, and it's all a big conspiracy, and maybe you'll figure it out next game.
Yeah, and that's what blew my mind, was after hearing the second one, I'm like, hold on, the second one didn't go into that. I'm like, they left such a good cliffhanger at the end of one.
Yeah.
So and then nothing.
Assassin's Creed, the storyline, did the same thing to me that fucking Dead Space did. Because at the end of Dead Space, you're like, oh my god, here it is. Here's the big payoff. I've been waiting for this. What is the monolith? Tell me about the weird cult. Show me the aliens. And like, then it's just fucking nothing. It's a bunch of fucking nothing. And then you get into the second game, and it's still a bunch of fucking nothing. And you don't even play the third game because the franchise is dead.
One was the one that did the jump scare at the end, right?
I'm trying not
to call out what exactly happened, but at the end of one of them was a really big jump scare.
Yeah.
It was the first?
It was one of them. I forget which one.
Okay.
They run together for me. One was a nice atmospheric game. Two, reliant on jump scares throughout the whole experience. Two was an action game with a horror skin on it, so I didn't really care for it. I never played three. Apparently, I'm not missing much, according to reviews.
And according to the, the end scenario for the game developers.
Yeah, that too.
I don't mean to make light of it, but I couldn't help but poke that. But, that's pretty much all I played. So let's get into a little bit of news.
Because we're on releases, let's go ahead.
I was gonna get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, that was actually the first thing I did because of it. So, in news, there was an announcement on a game that will be coming out, and technically you can get a hold of it if you have the ability to fake like you're in Australia, but Animal Crossing Pockets.
G'day.
Camp. Pocket Camp. Can't just say pocket. Tom, you talk about this, because you're an Animal Crossing guy, where I have played zero seconds of it.
I cannot believe that, but Animal Crossing seems to be kind of my jam. All right, so... whole premise behind Animal Crossing is you're the new kid in town, you move in, you get a house, there's like, you got some debt because you bought a house with no money or income or a job. Imagine the housing crisis in 2008, but personified in a video game. So it's that. Yeah. They gave you a loan because you're a child, you have no job, you have no income, and they give you a big ass house. And then they keep upgrading your house throughout the game. But your objective is to pay down your debt. And however you do that is up to you. And you cannot pay down your debt if you don't really want to. The game doesn't punish you, but it rewards you if you do. Well, rewards. In quotes.
Does it give you a white shirt and tie?
No. What it does is when you pay off your debt so often, they'll say, oh, hey, look, you paid off your house. Let's expand it. Tomorrow morning, it'll be a bigger house and you'll owe more money until you reach the final level and then you can pay it all off. But that happens like two or three times.
Jerks.
Yeah, it's great. It's just... housing market 2008 personified, or gamified, really. So there are fruit trees. You can plant them. You can go shake them down, sell some fruit. You can go fishing, donate the fish to the museum, or go and sell them. You run errands for people. You collect furniture. You celebrate holidays. Like there's Christmas and Halloween. They're not called Christmas or Halloween, but they totally are. You can compose a tune for your town, like the town's theme. It's just a really chill game. Everything about it is really chilled out. It's really relaxed. Nothing is stressful. It's just, it's a good world to exist in. And it's one of the very first virtual worlds that absolutely sucked me in. I would play for hours and hours and hours. I probably have 500 hours in the GameCube release of Animal Crossing. Yeah, at least. I mean, this was my jam for years.
So I know a lot of people love it. A lot of people have been calling for this to be a new game on the Switch. But with Nintendo,
I thought that's what it was.
When people want something, Nintendo just doesn't give it to them.
Yeah. Yeah, good old Nintendo. When I heard Nintendo Direct Animal Crossing, I was like, oh shit. And I threw my wallet at my computer screen. Everyone was confused. But I want Animal Crossing on the Switch. I probably wouldn't ever stop playing it because I can take it with me. Animal Crossing on the DS was good. It wasn't amazing. but you know,
anyway, you're in love with the Switch.
Yeah, it's the Switch. So Animal Crossing Mobile, Pocket Camp is the subtitle for this one. Yeah, it runs on your phone. It's actually been getting pretty decent reviews. Yes, there are microtransactions, and one of the things, I don't know if I'll pick it up because this style of free-to-play annoys me, but you can shake down a fruit tree, and in the original Animal Crossing, you would, you know, wait till the next day for the fruit to grow back, and this one, it gives you a 3-hour real-world timer. But you can speed that up if you pay leaf tickets or whatever currency they're calling it.
Can I go ahead and say what this is? Yeah. Farmville.
No, it's not Farmville.
It's going to be Farmville.
It's not going to be Farmville.
Oh, you have to wait 5 hours for these crops to be ready. Oh,
no, that's free to play. That's entirely free to play. That's not it might have, you know, gotten big with Farmville, but Farmville did not invent that.
No, it did not invent that, but the farm atmosphere of it. You're going to better your farm around this. You're going to plant things, and then you're going to pay us to get it faster.
Yeah, but that's just become a free-to-play staple at this point. I wouldn't even call it a Farmville thing. That's just a free-to-play thing, and that's mostly why I don't play these games. Well, right? Fallout Shelter does the same exact thing, and it hurts just as bad.
See, there's a lot of free-to-play games that don't quite do it that way.
Yeah, just about everyone I've played does something similar to it. But anyway, so you can get furniture made for you, deck out your campsite, make your whole camp cool by like building Ferris wheels and merry-go-rounds and like weird shit, like customize the whole thing. It looks interesting. I'm kind of surprised it is getting good reviews. I will definitely play it at some point when it hits States. I don't know if I'll keep playing it though. Free to play tends to annoy me more than anything. Like, make me pay $5, make me pay $10, still making a mobile game, I don't give a shit, but you know, I don't want to keep nickeling and diming myself to play your game. And I just think it's bad game design to say, hey, you've played all the game you can right now, come back in 2 hours. Like, that's shitty. That's really shitty.
That's mobile. That's I know what that it's is. Mobile. That's mobile.
Yeah, it sucks, and that's why mobile gaming is seen as like the most lackluster piece of shit segment of the gaming market there is. Yeah, it might print money, and yeah, that's where a bunch of these tiny development studios are going, but it's just not a good experience, and that's why everyone in the mainstream gaming industry thinks it's a joke.
Yes, but mobile games aren't for mainstream game industry.
They're not. They're absolutely not.
And they print money because of that. But because mainstream game industry is going to charge you a static $60 on a product that hasn't risen price over the last decade, undersell the shit out of it, and then have to do DLC to actually make the thing profitable. That's mainstream gaming. I mean,
there are so many issues with this industry right now.
They just need to raise the price of fucking games already and stop with the micros. Make it a $100 game. Make it an $80 game. Do something.
Yeah, or even like if the DLC was worth it and not like fucking horse armor, yeah, I could get it. Like even the first DLC for Breath of the Wild, I didn't think was really that worth it. It's a bunch of treasure hunting quests that aren't really even that good.
There was some stuff added to it. The map features were awesome.
The map features were good, but you know, I don't know. It wasn't. It felt like DLC and not like expansion pack to me. And that's kind of my line, right? Whereas the Witcher's DLC or this is totally the wrong segment, but the Guild Wars 2 expansion packs added substantial content. And they said, yes, it is this much money and you will pay this much money to get it. That's great to me. I bought Blue Shift back in the day. I bought Opposing Force back in the day. And they gave me, you know, games that were half the size of the original Half-Life, but they were worth the 30 or so bucks I paid for them.
Borderlands has probably done the best DLC I've ever purchased. Borderlands 2. Love the Borderlands 2 DLC, but I'm still saying I'd rather pay more money and see less of this stuff.
I agree. I mean, I still feel kind of bad for buying Overwatch on sale for $30 because I know it's not a $30 game. It is absolutely a $60 game. That said, I'm not going to buy loot boxes, right? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to support that model.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I won't get into that part, but...
Yeah, we'll have to see how Animal Crossing fares. I will play it. You will be hearing about it later this year when it hits the States, but...
Sometime in November, I think it was.
Yeah, that's like when they're estimating.
November 11th or
something. I don't have a lot of faith in it. I'm excited for it. I want to play it, and I really want it to be good, but it's mobile, so my expectations are very, very tempered.
Yeah, as it should be with all mobiles. Before we get to the next piece of news, wanted to do a quick call out. Tonight, after the cast, we forgot to reference this. It will be TF2. So we will be getting a big-ass lobby of people and burning each other and shooting rockets and laying mines and doing chain guns with sandwiches.
And using a jetpack. So this feeds right into a news story. TF2 just got its biggest update in probably a year. Giant update from Valve. Pyro got reworked. Pyro's got a jetpack now. I want to say there are new maps. I could be wrong on that.
A single new map. It's a jungle map.
Okay. So a new map. But still, that's great from a game that everybody thought was dead that Valve forgot about. They put out an update. So that's nice. Oh, and also, if you don't have Team Fortress 2, it is free. Go out on Steam. Buy it. Valve has made their money and they just said, here you go. Here's the game. Buy some hats or something. So
you say buy some hats in a very light, easy, just go get hats fashion.
Just buy some hats. It's cool. Don't worry about it.
But yes, we will be doing that after the cast. So jump in. It'll be fun. Good times for all. There is some news coming out of PUBG as they get closer to this elusive 1.0 release that's supposed to happen at the end of this year. Next week, the Vaultine addition to the game will be coming out in test servers. So initially they were talking, for those of you who don't know, backstory, Vaultine is the ability to jump over set obstacles out of windows and over cars and stuff. However, they initially were saying only 1 meter. They have now upped that up to anything 2.1 meters and below. They are adding the mechanic to where if you're running fast, you go over it quick. If you're going slow, you have to slowly get over it, making you more vulnerable. As well as some of the higher features, you have to be empty-handed to do. So you have to actually make sure you look, you take your gun down, and then you vault. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, this is actually going to be one of the biggest boons to playability in PUBG. I cannot even just begin to stress to you the amount of frustration where everybody's in the car on the other side of the fucking like gate or fence or whatever, and we're being shot at and like, Tom, hurry. No, you have to go around. There's a hole in the fence that way. No, you can't just jump over it because we don't know how to do jumping in this game. I'm looking forward to this. This is a much needed change and a very welcome change.
Yeah, it's a very, very big change. I'm looking forward to it a lot. A whole lot. As well as on that, we have some sad news from Microsoft.
Womp, womp, womp.
A decade ago, they came out with some really, really good hardware. It was called the Kinect. The bad thing about this hardware is it should have never been used for gaming. Just this week, Microsoft officially announced they are done manufacturing Kinects, that the future life of the Kinect will be built in with the HoloLens. So the software and technology is staying alive, but they're officially detaching it from gaming.
Yeah, you know, I don't feel sad about this at all. The Kinect is a fantastic piece of technology. Scientists, people working with computer vision, people doing skeletal animation, like this has got so many fantastic features for scientists and computer scientists to use and build on top of. And it absolutely was shit as a gaming device. I tried the Kinect 1. I tried the Kinect 2. I really tried to love the Kinect, but it just sucks. It absolutely sucks. The interface on top of it was dog shit. You know, let me wave my hand in front of the OK button. Ah, shit, it lost tracking on my hand. Let me hold it here for a minute. Okay, we went through that part in the menu. Okay, now we gotta choose a game mode. Oh, shit, that was too high. Okay, now we've chosen the game mode. It was just not good from a gameplay standpoint. It wasn't really any better than the PlayStation Eye that came out with the PS2 forever ago.
The one thing I loved about it, I thought was funny, in the second iteration with the Xbox One, they enabled the voice interaction with it, with games. I remember going over to my buddy Dobby's house, and he's playing Madden. And we're talking while he's in a very close game going down the stretch. And I asked him, like, have you called a timeout? It heard me say timeout and called a timeout for him in his game when he absolutely did not need it. And it cost him the game.
That is amazing. Awesome. That is fantastic.
As well as there was an instance where we're all in an Xbox Live party talking and Scott thinks he mutes, sets down his controller. It switches to the Kinect microphone. And we can hear him and his wife just talking. So I think it was myself and another friend. We are texting him what they're saying. And all of a sudden he's like, what the fuck? God damn it. It was hilarious.
That's awesome. There's a story online of some guy in Call of Duty. And I apologize if anyone has their Kinect hooked up right now and are watching this on their Xbox, because I'm about to shut it off. There was a guy in Call of Duty that named his that his gamer tag was called Xbox Turn Off. And someone's like, oh, fuck, I just got, god damn it, this Xbox Turn Off guy keeps killing me. And the dude's Xbox fucking shuts down in the middle of a match. Like, it was just fantastic.
That is a perfect name troll. Perfect name troll. Yeah,
it is absolutely beautiful. Yeah, I do not weep for the Kinect. I think, especially with the Xbox One, Microsoft was wrong to push it as hard as they did. They totally, instead of doubling down on their fucked up risk and saying, no, we are going to make you buy this and keep it hooked up, they said, eh, it's now optional. And then in the next holiday bundle, the Kinect was completely absent. It was a secondary purchase.
They didn't give enough incentives for game developers to actually do it.
Yeah. Yeah. They could have said, hey, we're going to knock, 3% off your licensing cost if you add in something Kinect, which we would have seen a bunch of shitty features like saying, fire grenade in Call of Duty or something. But it would have made it slightly cheaper for game developers. They didn't push it enough. They didn't give enough incentive. There are so many things that Microsoft did wrong with the Kinect. But at the start of it, I just don't think it was a very good gaming device to begin with. I think it came out to compete with the Wii, which it tried to do and spectacularly failed. And the biggest reason is Xbox never had Wii Sports and never had that one game.
Yep. But I think that this is a tale that both Vive and Oculus need to listen to very closely. Where just because you have really good technology and you know it can work, doesn't mean it's going to. You have to give incentives to get the developers on board or your shit's going to tank regardless how good it is. Especially at a huge price point.
You need the games to go with it. Microsoft, I cannot name the Kinect game, right? Like, if you say, hey, what's the game that demonstrated the capabilities of the Wii? Everyone says, oh, Wii Sports. And amazingly enough, people bought the Wii just for the Wii Sports pack-in and never bought another goddamn game. They bought a Wii Sports machine. Wii Sports sold that system.
Yes, the Kinect, absolutely.
The Kinect never had the game. It never had their killer app to sell the hardware. It was just kind of thrown in the box and we'll see what other people do with it. And frankly, I haven't seen the killer app for the Vive yet. As much as I love hot dogs, horseshoes, and hand grenades, as much as I love the lab, I have not seen the Vive's killer app.
There is one, but it's not just the Vive. It is VR cross-platform. Rec Room. Rec Room is the one shining piece of the VR shitstorm.
Even that, Rec Room is good. Rec Room's a lot of fun. I've never had a bad time in Rec Room, but I don't think it is popular enough or visible enough to be called a killer app. When I got the Vive, you know, I accidentally stumbled upon Rec Room. I didn't get a Vive for Rec Room. And you can't say that Rec Room will sell VR systems, because I don't think it will.
No game will sell VR systems. VR systems are too expensive. No one game will move a $600 system.
I could see that, maybe. But I mean,
especially
then again,
since you need a $1,100 computer to run it too. So you're talking total package of $1,600-$1,700.
That's true. Yeah, that's kind of a stretch. That said, if Valve put Half-Life 3 on the Vive and they said, hey, you have to have the latest and greatest gaming card and Vive 2, and the whole package will only be $5,000, I would buy three of them.
Yes, you would, because you're that guy.
I would. I am that guy. I would totally do it.
And then on to some more news outside of Tom's glowing review of Half-Life 3 20 years before it comes out. Overwatch esports update. We have some news in the Overwatch community. Tom.
Yes. Yeah, so I will take this away. And actually, I'm going to read this word for word from a Reddit comment, because it is like a 10-ish minute video, and you can boil this down into really tiny talking points. So, Seagull, number one fanboy on Reddit, I'm reading your shit right now. You get all the credit. Team uniforms, home and away, in match for Overwatch. That's cool. Top-down interactive map. So for people watching on Twitch, for people streaming games and commenting, for casters, this is great. Third-person smart camera. Oh, thank God. Watching an Overwatch match is pretty painful right now. This will help that. Instant replays from a kill feed. That's great, especially when it comes to like really tense moments right when a team's about to win. I want to see this next feature in every single competitive esport wannabe game ever. Dota, I'm fucking looking at you. The game will automatically instantly pause when a player disconnects. That is fantastic.
Yes.
That is such a tiny, like, little cherry on top, but it makes such a huge difference in esports. Like, that is fantastic. Automated tournament interface to limit human error. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Very yes. Yes.
It's just... It's nice. It's nice. It's a great feature to have. You're going to make your game esport. Put it in. But God, they're at top level esports. There shouldn't be human error for who won.
No, I agree with that. But that said, when I mean, we've talked about this at length whenever RLCS comes up and you've got to go to some weird third party website that's running RLCS for some fucking reason. And it says, oh, I don't know, join this lobby with this password. And I guess make sure you're on the right team and on the right map. I don't know. We don't really have people watching this. And then, you know, send in your replays if somebody disagrees on who won or what the score was. Like, that's fucking shitty. If you want to be a legit esport, you need to build that shit into your game. That end all, that is the conversation. There are no more talking points. If you want to be a legit esport, you cannot rely on third-party sites to run your shit. I think Overwatch is going to do this correct first, and I think other games will have to follow suit if they want to be taken seriously.
So you're saying that there is no real esport currently?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm saying every single esport out there, Dota included, that fucking prints, you know, $20 million at least every single international for the past couple years, is still janky as fuck for the majority of their tournaments. It should be built into the game, and it is unfathomable to me why it isn't today.
You know something that's really funny to me? This is a feature that was in Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Yes,
Melee,
it was!
On the GameCube.
The fucking GameCube had this. I remember this because we used to have Smash Championships at fucking Thanksgiving at my aunt's house every year. We would set that up and have one-on-one Smash tournaments, and it fucking did the automatic bracketing. It set up people automatically. It had the rules set. It was brilliant, and no other game that I've seen has built in just a fucking simple tournament ladder system. It blows my mind. It is such an easy feature to program and an easy feature to get right, and nobody does it.
Nobody.
That's my rant. Other than that, they also said this is just the beginning. They're going to do more, blah, blah, blah. So we will totally see where that will end up. So Seagull, number one fanboy on Reddit, thank you very much for letting me steal your comment.
So I've said this for months now. They're doing it the right way. They're making this more official sports than esports. They're taking the E off of it. They're making everyone understand traditional sports have it right. Don't try to do your own shit. Do what they do because it works. And now they're just building this shit into the game. And then they're giving them home and away uniforms, which is the biggest thing. You know yeah, who's home.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Because even watching Dota, like, unless you're looking at the colors of the life bars, like, any team can be any character. You are not limited, and they are not colored in any specific way. You know, would that fuck up Dota? Is that realistic in Dota? I don't know. I personally don't think that's a realistic change that Dota could make, but for Overwatch, oh, this is great. This is fantastic, because you can have Mei on the same team doing the same stuff, and one's going to be in a purple outfit and the other one's going to be in a yellow outfit or a green outfit or whatever, and you're going to know this is this team, this is the other team.
Yeah, I think that's actually really, really cool idea. Like, I was only halfway joking when I thought that was the biggest thing. I think that's really cool for spectators.
Yeah, and what's great is that these aren't like giant game breaking, game changing things, right? These are tiny little quality of life upgrades for Overwatch as an esport. But I think it's all this tiny little shit added up that will put Overwatch head and shoulders above the other esports. You know, Rocket League doesn't need home and away costumes because they've got red cars and blue cars, and that's it, right? You've got the two gradients of color, and everyone knows, okay, when you're red, you're on this side. When you're blue, you're on this side. That said, Rocket League also needs to do a lot of these things too.
Honestly, I think the one that's going to do a lot of this is the NBA 2K, because it's being adopted by the NBA. The NBA is doing it. So I think they're going to have a lot of these same features just because they're trying to run it like a parallel with their other organizations.
Yeah, I think this will be very interesting. Frankly, I think the NBA saw, you know, the international's prize pool, and they went, holy fuck, that's a decent chunk of change. We should get in on that. And then they decided, oh, we esports now. I don't think it's going to be successful. I don't think
it's because of the money issue of it. So coming from someone who watches a lot of sports, the NBA is super progressive. I mean, we are talking a super progressive basketball league here. They like to get ahead on trends. They like to try to do things. I'm not shocked that they're doing this. I'm not going to be shocked when it doesn't work well, because not a lot of people want to watch NBA 2K video games. That said, I'm excited they're doing it, and I'm interested to see how it goes, because they have funding from huge, huge organizations, not the esports organizations. We're talking about people who are buying billion-dollar teams are the ones now backing these esports teams.
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely have the money to do amazing things with this. I really will echo your sentiment, though, that there is no audience there. If people want to watch basketball, they're going to watch fucking basketball. If, you know, people aren't going to watch a basketball video game, even on Twitch, when sports games come out right away, you know, unless you're playing a story mode, it doesn't really garner a whole lot of views.
And Madden does. Madden does.
Does Madden, it? Madden gets, I have never Madden seen it hit the top 10.
Madden gets ESPN play. And I don't mean reviews. I mean, it gets the Madden Bowl yearly gets aired. Because that's a thing. You may not be aware of it because it's not your circles, but it's big.
I am absolutely aware of the Madden Bowl. But I think the only reason the Madden Bowl is a thing and continues to be a thing is it's right about the winner of the Super Bowl more often than not. It's really kind of, it's more of a...
No. I'm not talking that. I'm not talking the simulation. I mean actual people playing. Actual people playing Madden. It's a big tournament.
Oh, okay. Then yes, I am unfamiliar.
Yeah, it's big. It's really, really big. People get really good. One of my buddies played someone who was ranked third, and it was insane. He scored a field goal on the dude, and the guy mercy ruled him. And the dude's friends comes up to him, like, the guy's friends comes up, like, dude, you actually scored on him. It's like, what are you talking about? He's like, no one scores on this guy. It's like, damn. Oh, fuck. So, yeah, I mean, that gets a lot of play still, but sports games are hard to track esports, but I would like to see the NBA keep pushing and maybe adopt a traditional esport eventually.
And speaking of esports and things that don't need them ever, because everyone is always thinking about this title, Contra.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Contra. Because Konami doesn't make video games anymore, they've decided to start making movie and TV shows about Contra.
So I'm going to be honest right now. I played a decent amount of Contra. What the fuck's the plot of Contra?
There were some aliens and you kill them.
Yeah. Okay. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the plot. The story was there's a red guy and a blue guy and you kill them. You kill the aliens.
And you get a gun that makes you shoot spread and you all of a sudden go to 2D to weird overview and.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Contra.
Ah. Oh, actually.
So yeah.
Nope. I didn't remember anything else because that's Contra. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Contra.
So not only will you get a TV series out of this, you will get a full live action Contra movie. So buckle up. It is getting real in here.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. So let's go ahead and not spend any more time on that because that's all the more we're ever going to watch it too. Destiny 2. So the PC launch has so far went pretty well. People are loving it. The game's playing fantastic. If you're able to get into the game. So, there was some people posting online like, hey, do you have Discord? Do you have any of these games things that do overlays into your game? It's like, if you do, beware, some of us are getting banned. And a lot of people saw that as like, it's those people that got banned for cheating and they're trying to give an excuse as to why it happened. And Bungie came out and said, nope, this isn't happening. We've only had about 400 people banned so far. And then within a day or two, Bungie's like, well, you know what? I think we do have an issue in our ban system. So yeah, these games or things like Overwatch, oh my God, like Discord that are used a lot in games like Destiny 2. Tom, talk.
No, I refuse to talk.
Okay. But Discord, it has a hook into games. It makes an overlay on them. It's being flagged as a cheat engine.
Yeah, this is... We see this a lot with big titles just releasing, is they will red flag and ban a whole slew of stuff that aren't cheats, they aren't modifying the game in any way, they're not aimbots, but because they do hook into the visual engine, it hooks into a graphics driver at some point to do overlays or drawing on top of stuff, then some cheats share, you know, certain aspects of that type of behavior. So it's really just an overzealous cheat detection system. I'm sure this will be fixed. I'm sure we'll see a mass rollback of bans here soon if it hasn't happened already.
They already have. A lot of them have.
Yeah, so it's a game. It came out. It's a big game. And yes, there are going to be bugs. Unfortunately, this is not really the type of thing that's super easy to test for without a large open beta. But
that said, Discord is huge. Discord is not a small thing anymore.
It is not.
Destiny is a type of game where you're talking to people. People talk to people on Discord. That should have been at least one of their very clear test cases of make sure Discord works with their game.
You'd think. I don't know. That's unfortunate.
That'd be like putting out an operating system without making sure that a wireless network card can work with your operating system. That would be really, really dumb.
Oh, excuse me. My bad.
Did I just name an inferior system there somewhere?
My apologies. I think you did. It's okay. Don't worry about it, laptop. You're just fine. Oh. Hey, my laptop runs Discord. We missed a small little news thing. Well, while you are shopping around on the Steam store and you know, hey, somebody's birthday is coming up, or, oh, shoot, I should totally remember to get this thing for that person, but you don't know what kind of games they want, you can now purchase Steam gift cards, which isn't new at all. What is new is that you can finally give Steam balance, like actual Steam money, to people online. For fuck's sake, thank God. The only times I have walked into a GameStop in the past 5 years are to go buy a fucking Steam card for someone's birthday. Why? Why did I have to do that? That is so shitty. I can give online gift cards to anyone. I can email anyone a gift certificate to any website in the world except Steam. And now that's all changed. Now we don't ever have to go to GameStop ever again, PC gamers. We can give online Steam gift cards.
Yes, Tom, but you forget you also own a Switch.
But I don't have to go anywhere. Because I can order that stuff off Nintendo's eShop, like ARMS, for $60. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, fuck eShops. I don't, because I'm going to end up with a second Switch. I know I will. As soon as the next mainline Pokemon comes out, I will have a second Switch. I want physical copies.
I don't mind physical copies. I kind of like them. But at the same time, I hate having to switch games, like on the bus or anywhere where it's not easy to get to my bag.
For a half hour period, I'm okay playing whatever's in the console or whatever digital I do have.
What if what you have digitally or what you have in the console is ARMS? What then?
Then you made a purchasing mistake.
Oh, okay. All right. So that was way earlier in the chain. Okay.
Yes, yes. The fact that it's in your console is indicative that there was an issue made earlier.
Okay. Got it.
Yes, absolutely. But with that, I think that's all we have for you guys this week. What you can always do is tweet at us. Give us content. We're lazy. You tell us what you want us to talk about. We'll make it better. You can tweet at us at 72PCPodcast. If you're watching us live on Twitch, we have been adding content to our YouTube. You can go to 72 Pin Connector on YouTube and find all of our beautiful content with beautiful faces up there. If you're watching this on YouTube, one of the rare people, you can go, because our podcasts are listed on YouTube, not because our content's not, because our content's great. You should totally check it out. But you can always come.
Our content is as good as ARMS.
Don't say that. But our Twitch will be going live every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time. You should come check us out. Hang in the chat. Be interactive with us. It's a good time. We promise. Or Tom will give you his copy of ARMS.
See, why would you go to Netflix and watch Stranger Things Season 2 when you could watch us?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't, because fuck Stranger Things. We're better. But
what? No.
You can always go. Tom, shut up. You can always go to our website, 72pinconnector.com, to pick up your RSS feeds if you're one of those Neanderthals that don't like to use podcast apps such as iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, because all of those apps have us on them nice and conveniently. Just click it, find us, download us, listen to our lovely voices with you anytime, anywhere. It's a fantastic invention. But other than that, I think that's all we have for you guys this week. So, till next week, game on.
See everyone.